Welcome to TSX Media's Moments in Mining with your host, Galen Engen. Canada's gross national debt now totals 90% of our country's GDP. And with the current low interest rates and rampant borrowing, net debt to GDP ratios are expected to accelerate through the 2020s. This is a global phenomenon. All the major economies are suffering. The U.S. is getting crushed by trillions of dollars of debt, and if interest rates increase, the only way to service that interest expense will be the devaluation of the American dollar. China's debt-fueled infrastructure spending over the last decade is coming home to roost as the economy continues to slow. All of this becomes amplified during the current trade war. Quantitative easing has led us to a point where fiat currency is due for a massive correction, and the instability heading to that end has investors turning from the money markets to traditional solid forms of investment, metals and mining. Gold and silver are the purest forms of money, and in this unsure environment, their appreciation outperforms currency, providing a haven until the financial clouds clear. I'm speaking today with Brian London, editor and publisher of North America's oldest and best-known precious metal and resource stock advisory, The Gold Newsletter. Brian also hosts the New Orleans Investment Conference, the world's oldest and most revered gold investment event. Thanks for joining me today, Brian.
Great to be with you, Galen.
Brian, gold is tipping $1,500 an ounce U.S., driving gold bugs to distraction and reawakening the exploration sector. Can you tell us how we got here?
Well, I think your opening statement was absolutely perfect. You know, the issue longer term is debt, and that's what's going to drive what I believe is going to be a long-term secular bull market in gold. It's why I think much higher gold prices are inevitable, because debts are too large, not just in the U.S., but in every developed economy. And history tells us that whenever this happens, the standard prescription always is to devalue the currency that those debts are denominated in. Now, the difference, as you also alluded to today, is that one nation can't devalue against all the other currencies. It's an internet-connected global world. Mm-hmm. Every developed economy is in the same situation. Every developed economy has to devalue its currency because of their tremendous debt loads. So if they can't really devalue against each other, if they're all racing to the bottom of the hill, then what's left? And that's gold. It always has been and always will. And along with that, silver. So I think those will be the primary refuges for people around the world to protect themselves from the devaluations of their currencies over time. Now, in the nearer term, we've been driven higher to some degree by headlines, by the China trade issues, just most recently the attacks on the Saudi oil facilities and things like that. But longer term, I think as these headlines fade in the past and are replaced by new ones, of course, the major driver, the underlying driver for much higher prices and something that investors can rely on to buoy metals prices is this really inescapable trick box that nations have put themselves in with these tremendous debt loads.
Gotcha. So with this in mind, then, you see gold doing what over the next 18 months?
Well, you know, I had predicted $1,600 by the end of the year. And within days of making that prediction most recently, we were up to around $1,555. And I thought I was going to hit it by the end of the week. So we're correcting a little bit here right now. And I think that's actually very good. It's expected. And it's good for the health of this bull run. But I think easily 1,600 by the end of the year. We may have a dip toward the very end of the year later, last week or so of December, as we usually do. But I think the new year is going to be really promising for gold, silver, and investors in the associated equities. I don't think we can really look beyond that with any degree of confidence, because there are so many other factors involved. But I do think that over the next couple of years, we're going to break the old records.
Now, speaking of that appreciation over the next 18 months, how does the average investor now get involved in gold investing? What are their options? How can they become, get their fingers in the pie, as it were?
Well, there's lots of ways. And the more a newbie gets into the sector, the more confusing it seems to be. Mm-hmm. We do have a free report on our website, goldnewsletter.com, that it's the investor's guide to gold and silver that covers every aspect, every method of investing in the metals across the spectrum from physical metals through futures, options, mining shares, in every level of mining share, from the big producers to the juniors and the exploration and development shares. But first off, I think that anyone that who has built up a sizable portfolio or some degree of wealth mm-hmm. really needs to protect what they have through some physical metals, metal ownership. Gold and silver, a good portion of it readily accessible, not in a bank vault. Mm-hmm. Just as kind of an anchor and insurance policy for the rest of their portfolio. Then depending upon their level of comfort and the amount of due diligence and homework that they're willing to do to learn about the sector, mm-hmm. then they can get involved in the equities that leverage the metals themselves. If they don't want to do the homework involved, they could just use the big indices like GDX and GDXJ mm-hmm. For the as representation to the equities market. They can dabble maybe in some of the larger producers. But if they really want to get involved in the sector that offers the highest potential, of course, the highest risk as well, mm-hmm. In the junior sector, then they really need to devote the time and money to go to conferences, to subscribe to newsletters, and really learn about the sector.
Gotcha. Now, speaking of silver, it's also, you know, on the rise, and it's somewhat connected to the gold pricing. Where do you see silver heading over the next 18 months?
Well, I tell people that if you like gold, and you should, mm-hmm. then you should love silver, because in a long-term bull market, gold bull market, consistent, mm-hmm. secular, monetary factors, mm-hmm. Then silver will outperform gold on the upside. Now, when that turns around and gold prices are dropping, mm-hmm. silver will also drop further and faster than gold. So it's kind of like a option on gold. It moves more in either direction. Gotcha. But again, in a bull market like this, it's going to move more, and you can get even more leverage by investing in silver equities.
Gotcha. Now, speaking of the metals themselves, who are some of your favorite picks in terms of gold and silver exploration? You've got Great Bear Resources, I know you were talking about. Who else? Tell us more about Great Bear. Like, where are they at?
Well, I tell you, Great Bear offers the potential to become a generational discovery mm-hmm. With their Red Lake property, their Red Lake Dixie property. I don't know of another junior that has that kind of upside potential. Mm-hmm. That said, we're up about 26, 27 times in that stock from our entry level.
Wow.
So we've already told our readers to take their risk capital off the table, to ride it for free. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you know, they need to consider whether they want to take the profits and run or not. It's kind of a binary situation of Great Bear. The expectations now are so high that disappointing news will be the share price will get severely punished on any disappointing news.
Gotcha.
But then again, the upside of having discovered a completely new district in the Red Lake area is just tremendous, and no other stock offers that kind of potential.
Gotcha. Any other favorite picks you got in mind?
I do like the silver sector. I like a small upstart junior that's just starting out of the gates again, Aftermath mm-hmm. Silver. I like Impact Silver. I like really all the silver plays, Endeavor Silver.
Okay.
I like New Pacific Silver and Silver Core.
Now, I know you've talked about a lithium company just recently. Are you still hot on lithium?
You know, it's a longer-term play. It really is. But mm-hmm. with that, you know, it's been over-promoted coming out the gate. So I was very cautious mm-hmm. in getting involved in that sector. There are a couple of companies that I think are really on the right track now. Very solid, good projects, great economics. I like Neo Lithium and Piedmont Lithium primarily right now.
Okay, perfect. Now let's slip off, because one of your big things that you talk about geopolitical scenarios, and that is of course bred into your investment philosophies.
Yeah.
I would like to ask you about, where do you see this trade war heading, and what's going to be the ultimate impact, do you think?
Well, the trade war, and generally these geopolitical issues, I don't think are good reasons to invest in gold.
Okay.
Because they tend to come and go. Now, the trade war, I thought, would have been resolved long ago. So I've been a bit wrong on that one. It's lasted a lot longer than I thought it would have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And its impact on gold has evolved over time. When it first began, the prospects of a trade war, an escalating trade war, were bullish for the dollar and bearish for gold.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point that switched. So if there is a resolution, and I think there will be at some point, I think there has to be for both parties, when there is a resolution, I see that as a really big risk to the gold price. You know, gold, if they signed a deal tomorrow, mm-hmm. And everything was all rosy and settled, then I think we'd lose $100 or more on the gold price in very quick order.
Okay.
I think there's that much of a headline premium built into the price right now.
Gotcha.
Again, though, I would view that as a buying opportunity, because I think the monetary issues involved, the fact that we can never have anything close to normal interest rates again because of these huge debt loads,
mm-hmm.
it really supports a much higher gold price over the long term.
There we go. Well, speaking of that, with the detachment of solid assets, meaning the silver and gold, from fiat currency, is fiat currency doomed a death? Like, is it on its way out?
Well, at some point, it always happens. There's never been a fiat currency that survived in mm-hmm. human history. Now, it can take a while. And I really have no idea whether this boom, bust, and massive liquidation cycle,
mm-hmm.
this current one, will be the last one, or whether there'll be one more afterward or one more after that. But what's happened since the gold window was closed for the U.S. dollar in 1971 is that with each succeeding economic downturn, the Federal Reserve has been able to come in and lower interest rates and or, in the last crisis, print money.
Mm-hmm.
To ameliorate the consequences, and so they've softened the blow each and every time. But in
right.
the process of doing that, they've cheapened the currency and created new bubbles. So we've gone through the cycle of boom, slow deflation rather than bust, and then a massive reflation. At some point, the currencies are going to lose their credibility with the public,
mm-hmm.
Because it's going to each succeeding cycle will demand, like an addict that develops a tolerance for the drug, they need a greater and greater dose. At some point, they're going to lose credibility. I don't know whether it will be this cycle or the one after or the one after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that whatever lies ahead, investors really need to have a significant allocation to gold and silver to protect themselves.
Gotcha. Now, sticking with currency for a moment, do you think cryptocurrency is a suitable replacement? Would it ameliorate the issues that we're having with fiat currency, or is it just an extension of and possibly even a little more dangerous because it is so completely detached?
I think it will be offer some advantages that will allow it to be a partial replacement, but I don't think it has all of the benefits of gold. You know,
mm-hmm.
The supposed disadvantage of gold is that if you hold it, somebody can steal it.
Gotcha.
But you know, that goes the same for cryptocurrencies, and that it could be stolen if somebody can break into your wallet or find your passwords, and you won't know it for some period of time.
Good point.
So there's a lot of there's advantages and disadvantages. I don't think it will ever displace gold, and I think that the ultimate solution will be the marriage of the two, wherein each cryptocurrency unit is backed by some gold, a physical holding of gold somewhere.
Gotcha.
And there are a number of options in that regard that are being developed right now.
It sounds like the more reasonable approach to it, in the sense that we are returning to somewhat of a gold standard with them. And again, it has some sort of solid anchor to reality. I think that would probably be the best way to go about it. So it's interesting because I was speaking with Rick Rule recently and was talking to him about cryptocurrency, and he got involved initially and then pulled right out, decided he did not see the value proposition in it whatsoever. You, of course, are feeling a bit different. You're thinking that it's would I be putting words in your mouth to say that it could be like a facilitator of international transactions, you know, just as act as the intermediary, that kind of thing?
I think so. I think there's been some hype and bluster with it. You know, I don't think it's going to solve every transactional issue in the world. And as we're seeing now, the governments are really starting to crack down and regulate it. And they're going to demand their piece of the pie. It's not this source of freedom or insulation from government bureaucracies and currencies that we once thought it might be. So it's evolving, and nobody really knows what it's going to be. I do think there are going to be some very significant advantages to blockchain, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as much as some of the evangelists make it out to be.
Gotcha. Now, speaking of which, blockchain and cryptocurrency, you have a investment conference coming up, of course, the New Orleans Investment Conference. That's happening in November, 1 to 4, is that correct?
Yep, November 1st through the 4th.
And you will have everybody under the sun there? Is there any particular speakers that we should be looking forward to? Or?
Well, you mentioned Rick Rule. He'll be there. I will also have Peter Schiff, Grant Williams, Adrian Day, Brent Cook, Byron King, Gwen Preston, Lobo Tigre, on and on. I'll have Stephen Moore, who was Trump's economic advisor, the controversial political commentator Kevin D. Williamson, Grant Williams, who's just a tremendously insightful and entertaining presenter, Doug Casey, Danielle DiMartino Booth, Peter Brookbar, Dennis Gartman. List goes on and on, really dozens upon dozens of today's top experts. And one of the things I'm trying to do this year, because we've always focused on, had a primary focus or a big focus on not only economics and the various investment markets and sectors, but also gold and precious metals and mining stocks. But this year, I'm also covering other areas like crypto, cannabis, technology like 5G and med tech and fintech and artificial intelligence and exciting things like that. So we have a number of experts that can handle that as well,
so
and panels associated with those areas.
That sounds awesome. I mean, so whether you're a gold bug or a wannabe gold bug wanting to learn more about it, perfect conference to be at. And not to mention, if anything else is on your mind, blockchain, technology, biotech, anything along those lines, they're going to see something like that there as well.
Yes, they absolutely will. We're going to give those areas coverage. And one thing we found over literally 45 years of the existence of this conference is that when the metals are in a bull market, when gold and silver are in bull markets, this is really the place to be. That, you know, there's been no other event that's made as much money for investors during this kind of an environment in a bull market in gold and silver. So this is the place to find tomorrow's biggest winners before they take off.
Oh, yeah. So if they want to find out where this is at, how they can get there and get involved, where do they go online to find this?
NewOrleansConference.com. Very simple.
Awesome. Simple. Well, Brian, thank you for joining me. It's been incredibly informative and enjoyable. I look forward to speaking with you again. Really, thank you for coming out.
Thank you, Galen. Anytime.
You've been listening to TSX Media's Moments in Mining. See you next time.